Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Vochim Daf Nun Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will be commencing from the second line from the top of Daf Nun Beis. However, before we get into today's shiur, we want to clarify a point that was made at the very end of our previous shiur so that there should be no misunderstanding. We are dealing in the middle, we're in the midst of a sugya dealing with a brisa that was found on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. There were three points that were featured at the beginning of that brisa, which is found on the lower half of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. The last point was a drasha concerning El Yesod Mizbach Oilo, Tein Yesod the Mizbach Shel Oilo. Our clarification is as follows, that what the brisa is teaching is that when you have the remnant blood of a Olo sacrifice, since the way to deal with the shirayim, the remnant blood of an Olo sacrifice, is not taught anywhere else, in other words, where the Torah describes a Korban Olo, it doesn't mention in that section what do you do with the remnant blood. This pasuk of El Yisod Mizbach HaOila that's found by the Soyer Nosi and says, and the Brisa says, Tein Yisod Mizbach HaOila is in effect telling me what to do with the Shirayim of the Ola sacrifice, namely pour it out at the base of the Mizbach standing in the Azara. We continue now in the Gemara. Coming off of that point, this is a quote now from that very Brisa from Nun Aleph Mat Aleph. We have an arrow written in to the Gemara, right to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, with an indication to look also on Nun Aleph Amud Aleph to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, where you'll find a corresponding arrow indicating from where this quote is coming from. So we continue, O Eino Elo Mizbeach Shel Oilo Yehe Yisod. Maybe what the Pasuk of El Yosoid Mizbach HaOila is coming to teach me is that the original blood sprinkling is to be done above a point on the Mizbach under which there is a base. It's been mentioned in our previous shiur that the base of the Mizbach, known as the Yosod, which had the dimensions of an Amma in height and a width of an Amma, ran around most of the Mizbeach. However, the southeastern corner of the Mizbeach did not have a Yesoid. So maybe El Yesod Mizbach HaOila is coming to tell me that when you do the original Matnas Dam of a Korban Ola, which was done on two corners of the Mizbeach, be sure that you don't do it over on the corner of the Mizbeach that's on the southeastern corner of the Mizbeach, because at that point there is no Yesod underneath. We have a bracketed section in the Gemara. This is here to show that the framed section that comes right afterwards in effect is a continuation of this quote, because what we're doing is we're quoting from the Brisa Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, so that where you see Rabbi Shmuel's name appears and we've underlined it, in effect this is a parallel to what was in the original source, so that after the source suggested this alternative that we are quoting on the second line, that maybe the role of the pasuk is not to teach me about the shvichas shirayim of a korban ola, but rather to tell me about the original matnas dam of a korban ola, where they're supposed to be done. To that, Rabbi Shmuel says, "Hey, I don't need the pasuk for that. That can be learned from a kal vachomer." That's as far as the structure of the Gemara is concerned. Within the bracketed section, the Gemara tries to say that that which is in the frame here, O Eino Ella, this alternative suggestion is not an alternative whatsoever. In other words, there is no Havamina to suggest what it says in the Brisa. Then, after the Gemara tries to say that there is no Havamina, there's no Havamina to say that, the Gemara will then reinstitute the Havamina and say there is a basis for suggesting that which it says in this framed section. So the Gemara goes on in the brackets. Mik siv el yisoid ha'oila. Does the pasuk say that? It doesn't say that. It says el yisoid mizbach ha'oila. Had it said el yisoid ha'oila, that would have been mashma. That would have implied something to do with the original matnas dam of a korban ola. However, el yisoid mizbach ha'oila ksiv. And because the pasuk phrases itself that way, there, the Gemara thinks, there is no Havamina to suggest what was said in the Brisa of O Eino Elo, etc. The Gemara responds, the pasuk had to say El Yisod Mizbach Ola, E Havik Siv El Yisod Ha'ola. If it would have phrased itself that way, Havi Amina, I would have thought that the original Matnas Dam of the Ola are Bezikifa Diyasod. They're done on the vertical part of the base of the Mizbeach, on the vertical corner, the vertical part of the corner of the base. And that's not so. Hashto dechtiv el yisod mizbach ola, agagoi diyasoid. Since it uses the word mizbach ola, I realize that you're talking about, we could be talking about the original matnas dam, not the shirayim, but the original matnas dam of a korban ola, positioned on the corner of the mizbach, above the yisod, as opposed to on the vertical side, the vertical rise of the yisod, but rather above the yisod. And this is alluded to by the term mizbach ola. In other words, just like a mizbeach has a top to it, so when the pasuk says el yisod mizbach ola, we're talking about a part of the yisod, namely on top of the yisod, in the sense that the yisod has a top, just like the mizbeach has a top. So at this point, we have reinstituted the possibility that el yisod mizbach ha'ola is talking about the original matnas dam, as opposed to the remnant blood, and we're talking about the original matnas dam of the korban ola to be sprinkled on the mizbeach at a point under which there is yisod. If that be the case, so then how do I know the halacha of shvichas shirayim of the ola? So to this, the Brisa goes on to say that as far as halachas concerning the original matnas dam of an ola being placed on the mizbeach at a point under which there is a foundation or under which there is a base, I don't need a pasuk for that. Omar Vishmoel, Gag Yisoid Loma Li Kro. As far as that the suggestion that the pasuk of El Yisoid Mizbach Ola is telling me about the original Matnas Dam to be done at a point on the Mizbech under which there is Yisoid, I don't need to use the pasuk for that. I can learn that through a Kal V'chomer. Uma Shirayim She'enon Mechaprim Te'unin Gag Yisoid, the remnant blood that doesn't come to atone, and yet it requires being poured on the top of the base. Techilas oila shemechaperes einodin sheteuna gag yisod, the original matnas dam of the ola, which come to offer a form of atonement, certainly should require being applied at a point above the yisod. And as we mentioned in our previous shiur, Rabbi Akiva is saying the same basic point, but in a different fashion, and the Gemara will deal with, well, what is the reason or what is the difference between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva. But for the time being, Omar Rabbi Akiva, Uma Shirayim She'ein Mechaperin Vein Boyin Lechaper Te'uno Gag Yisod. If the remnant blood that doesn't come to offer atonement requires to be placed on top of the Yisod, Tchilas Oilo She'mechaper Zubo Lechaper Eino Din She'tuno Gag Yisod, the original Matnas Dam of the Olo, which do come to offer a form of atonement, certainly should require this phenomenon of being above the Yisod. Im Kein Ma Tamud Lomar El Yisod Mizmacha Olo. So then what is the role of this pasuk? Answer, Tain Yisod L'Mizbeach Shel Ola, which tells me that the Shirayim of Korbonus are poured out on the base, and particularly the Shirayim of a Korban Ola that is not referred to anywhere else. So this serves as the source for that point. My Binayu, what's the difference between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva? They seem to be saying the same thing. So in order to answer this question, we have two approaches, Rav Ada and then Rav Papa. On our introductory remarks that you find in the outside margin, we have a Nosei and Mivneh. A Nosei is the topic, and Mivneh structural note that introduces the Sukya. So we see a diamond featured, and we've written in Shnei Deos Almai Iko Bein Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. Two opinions that come to explain what's the difference between Rabbi Shmuel and Akiva. Me'achar to l'shneim, ein sorach laposuk lochiach ti'ikur matnas dam ho'ilu b'inushu me'al ha'yesod. After all, they both agree that you don't need to use a posuk to teach me concerning the original matnas dam, that they are to be above a place where there is a yesod on the mizbeach. So, continuing in the Gemara, my binahu, what's the difference between Rabbi Shmuel and Akiva? Omar Rav Ado Bar Avo, Shirayim Akvim Iko Binahu. Are the Shirayim, the whole ceremony of pouring out the remnant blood of the Chatois Hapnimios, is that Me'akev, is that binding with regard to the atonement that one is trying to achieve? Mor Savar, Rabbi Shmuel will be portrayed as one as Me'akvi, that holds that the Shirayim are coming to, that the Shirayim are Me'akev. And Umor Savar, Lo Me'akvi, Rabbi Kiva will hold they're not Me'akev. Let's point out that it's granted that they're not coming to offer the atonement. However, if you don't do it, and you hold their ma'akev, if you don't do the shvicha shirayim, then you will not have fulfilled your obligation. Rashi explains that since Rabbi Kiva adds the expression v'ein boyin lechaper, he is trying to convey the idea that the matnas dam of those korbonos is not dependent on the shvichas shirayim. And hence, he would be the opinion that says that they're not me'akev, they're not binding. The Gemara goes on, Rav Papa Omar, dekulei almo shirayim ein me'akvin. Rav Papa says everyone agrees, including Rabbi Shmuel, that the shirayim of the korbon, of the korbonos, are not me'akev. V'hocha b'mitzui chatos ha'oif me'akev kol miflugi. Here, the machlokis between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel concerns a bird sin offering and the need to do the mitzui. The mitzui is a situation where one, after he does on the chatos ha'oif, after he does the required sprinklings of the blood, which is a situation where you hold the bird and in a forward lurching movement, the blood spurts out from the bird onto the mizbeach. That's the hazah. If there's remnant blood, then one would take the bird and press it onto the side of the Mizbeach, squeezing out the remnant blood. That's the mitsui. So that when we talk about shirayim, we're not talking about shirayim of an animal offering, the remnant blood left in the receptacle vessel, but rather we're talking about the remnant blood of a bird sin offering. The remnant blood is remnant in the sense that after you did the hazah, is there a need to do the mitsui? Continuing in the Gemara, more sava, Rabbi Shmuel will hold that the mitsui of the chatas ha'oif is ma'akev, is binding. More sava, lo ma'akev, and Rabbi Akiva will hold that it's not binding. Tanyo kavose de Rav Papa. We have a Tanaic source that supports Rav Papa insofar as that according to Rabbi Shmuel, as well, shirayim are not ma'akev. That's what Rav Papa said, that kuli alma shirayim are not ma'akev, and that was a reference to the shirayim of animal chatois. And in this Tanaic source, we will see that opinion reflected. If we were to skip ahead momentarily into the source, there's a about halfway down the source, there's a bracketed section. At the end of the bracketed section, you'll see the first word in the line there is Yesod, which at which point the after which the brackets closes, and then the Brisa says Yochol Yakvenu. This is a continuation of Rabbi Shmuel. Could it be that that which was mentioned before, and before we were talking about the Shirayim, could it be that they're Ma'akev? So Talmud Lomar, he then introduces a pasuk indicating that they're not Ma'akev. So this Brisa supports that which Rav Papa mentioned, that everyone agrees that the Shirayim, everyone meaning including Rabbi Shmuel, that the Shirayim are not Ma'akev, as we just demonstrated in the source. So let's start the source from the beginning. This Pasuk that's cited here is from the case of the Par Kohen Moshiach, that's the cow offering that a Kohen Gadol brings in the event that he issued an erroneous psak. It's one of the Purim Nisrafim. It's also a Chatas HaPnimi. The Es Kol Dam HaPar Yishpoich. Ma Talmud Lomar HaPar. Why does the Pasuk add that word? We made Al Par Yom HaKippurim Shiton Matan Domim LaYesod. The very Rebbe. The word hapar, in the case of the par kohen Mashiach, tells me about the par, Yom Kippur, that it has the pouring of its blood, the remnant blood, at the base of the Mizbeach. Omar Rabbi Yishmoel. Rabbi Yishmoel comes along, and as Rashi says, he's not coming to argue. He is coming to tell me that the Shirayim are not Me'akev. Kal v'chomer. Uma mi she'ein nichnas domoy lifnim choyvo to'un yesod. Mind you, a korban who doesn't go to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Lifnim, in this case, is a reference to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So mind you, a korban like a Par Kohen Mashiach, whose blood... let's go over this point again. We didn't explain it accurately. Uma mi she'ein nichnas domo lifnim chova to'un yesod. The Par Kohen Mashiach has its blood brought into the Heichal. Not like we said before, Kodesh HaKadoshim, but its blood is brought into the Heichal. But it's not obligatory in the sense that a Kohen Gadol is not obligated to issue an erroneous legal ruling in order to bring this particular korban. It's a korban that's brought as a contingency, so to speak, that in the event that he happened to issue the erroneous legal ruling, then he brings this korban. So, mind you, a korban like that, that doesn't stem from a basic obligation, yet its remaining blood requires to be spilled out on the Yesod. Misha nifnas domoy lifnim choivo. The Par Yom Kippur is a Torah obligation under all circumstances. It's part of the Yom Kippur process. So it's something that's brought as an obligation at the very outset. Eino din shetaun yisod. It's obvious that it should require the pouring of its shirayim on the base. So it's true that the idea of the Par Yom HaKippur blood being poured at the base could be learned from a Kal Vachomer, but the Torah writes it anyway. The main thing that Rabbi Shmuel is trying to do is, let's skip this bracketed section momentarily. Yochol Yakvenu. This is Rabbi Shmuel's continuation of Rabbi Shmuel. Could it be that if you don't pour the Shirayim, then you will not have fulfilled your obligation? Talmud Lomar, V'chilo Mikaper Es HaKodesh. Shalmu Kol HaKaporos Kulon Divrei Rabbi Yishmoel. That once you finish the kaporos is a reference to the sprinklings, excluding the shirayim. Once you finish the sprinklings, you have fulfilled your requirements. So that this pasuk, by the way, comes from Parshas Achrimos, which deals with Yom Kippur. We'll come back to this and read it again after we go over the bracketed section. So up till the brackets, we've established that the Par Yom Kippur certainly has a din of Shvichas Shirayim, the pouring of the remnant blood at the base. Omar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is coming to add. You'll notice we have a Rashi that's noted with a star on the third wide line under the Gemara. Rabbi Akiva bo lehoisif al dvorov ad sh'ata lomdo mehechal shedam par nichnas loy mitzvah tse v'lomdo milufnei lufnim she'eno nichnas lo lo l'chova v'lo l'mitzvah v'zeh nichnas lo afilu l'chova eno din she'yit'on. Rabbi Akiva comes to a Kal Vachomer conclusion of his own. Omar Rabbi Akiva, Uma mi she'ein domo nichnas lifnei ulifnim, bein l'choiva bein l'mitzvah ton yisod, the par koin Moshiach. The blood of that korban does not go into the inner sanctum, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, whatsoever. And yet it, the Par Koi Mashiach blood, if that which remains is poured onto the base of the outside Mizmeach, Mi Shenichnas Domoi Lifnei Lifnim, Mi Shenichnas Domoi Chova Lifnei Lifnim, the Par Yom Kippur, whose blood is brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and it's obligated to be brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's part of the Yom Kippur ceremony. So Eino Din Shetoni, so it certainly should require the Yesod, the Shirayim of the Par Koyin Yom of the Par Yom Kippur. Now, this goes back to Rabbi Shmuel Yochol Yakvenu. Could it be that the Shvicha Shirayim are Ma'akev, that if one doesn't do it, what doesn't pour out the remnant blood, so there he would not have fulfilled his requirement? Talmud Lomar. The Pasuk says in Parshas Achrimos, dealing with the Yom Kippur sacrifices, V'chilo mikaper es HaKodesh, Shalmu kol HaKaporos kulan, which tells me that once the sprinklings have been completed, then his obligation has been completed. And this does not include the Shvichas Shirayim. Rashi points out, let's read the Rashi inside Talmud Lomar, also under the Gemara. You'll see in the Rashi, the fifth wide line under the Gemara, Talmud Lomar, Ba'achrimos, V'chilo mikaper, Shomu kol hakaporos kulon, Ba'avodos halolu hamuros be'inyan, U'shvich Hashem lo nemru sham. That when does one complete the Yom Kippur sacrifices? When one finishes all of the blood applications that are stated in Parshas Achrimos. The reference to Shvichas Shirayim doesn't appear in Parshas Achrimos whatsoever. Now, with that in mind, that the Shvicha Shiraim of the Par Yom Kippur are not Me'akev, Kal V'chomer L'Par Kohen Moshiach Me'ato. We can now make a Kal V'chomer with regard to the Par Kohen Moshiach and its Shiraim. Uma mi she'ein nichnas domo yulifnim, lo choyva v'lo mitzvah, to'un yisoid. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's glance at the Rashi, Kal v'chomer lepar kohen Moshiach me'ato. Me'achar shebo'u lechlal kal v'chomer zeh, yesh lonu lidroish kal v'chomer kayotze bo'i. Since we've already cited a kal v'chomer, let's cite another kal v'chomer. V'lomar sheshirayim me'akvin bepar kohen Moshiach me'ribui hakosuv. Sharei b'kal v'chomer hoyo lomeid l'shvicha shirayim yisoyer nosi. Yochol yakvenu me'ato, Talmud lomar, etc. So now, let's see what the Braisa tells us. Kal v'chomer l'par kohen Moshiach, me'ato. Uma mi she'ein nichnas domoy lifnim. This is a reference to a chatas yochid and a soyer nosi. These are sacrifices whose blood does not go into the Hechal. We say about them, their blood does not go into the Hechal. Lo yichoyva v'lo mitzvah. To'un yisod. They require shvichas shirayim. Mi shenichnas domoi lifnim. Bein lechoyva, bein lemitzvah. Eino din she to'un yisod. The par yom kippur, which is obligated to be brought into the its dam, its basic blood is obligated to be brought into the Hechal. Certainly it should require a yesod. Now, the fact that this seems to be repeated, as we saw in the Rashi, may be it's to be ma'akev. As we know, in other places where something is repeated, that shows us that it's binding. So the Brice asks, Yochol Yakvenu? Should it be considered binding? The Shirayim? Talmud Loimar, the Eskol, Dam Hapar, Ishpoich. Niskoi Hakosuv, the Aso, Shirai Mitzvah Lomarloch, Shirayim, Eim Akvin. Rashi explains that this pasuk that says, Eskol, Dam Hapar, Ishpoich, appears in a grammatically different fashion than the previous stages in processing the korban had been stated. From the fact that it appears in a grammatically different fashion, it serves to remove it from the rest of the avodos, and telling me that this stage of processing the korban, the shvicha shirayim, is different than the previous stages. The previous stages are binding. The shvicha shirayim is not. Let us read a Rashi again that we read just before and appreciate it in a different light. The Rashi, Kal v'chomer lepar kohen Moshiach me'ato. Me'achar shebonu l'chlal kal v'chomer zeh, yesh lanu lidroish kal v'chomer kayotze bo. We saw in this brisa a kal v'chomer regarding the shvichas shirayim of the par yom kippur, a kal v'chomer that was made from the par kohen Moshiach. From that kal v'chomer we saw that there must be shvichas shirayim of the par yom kippur. At this point in the brisa, a second kal v'chomer is introduced, the result of having this second kal v'chomer, which also results in the same conclusion that the par yom kippur has a necessity of having shirayim. So Rashi goes on to say that the result of the second kal v'chomer, v'lomar shishirayim akvin b'par kohen Moshiach, me ribui hakosuv, that from the fact that this is let's say, repeated again, I could have learned Shvichas Shirayim from the Soyer Nosi. Why is it stated again by the Par Kohen Moshiach? Yochol Yakvenu Me'ato. At this point then, since we seem to have a double reference or a double way of determining Shvichas Shirayim, maybe the double factor tells me that it's binding. Therefore, I have this pasuk to tell me that it's not. Turning back to the Gemara here is referring to something that was mentioned quite a bit earlier. We have a little arrow that appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You'll see a parallel arrow further up, around the halfway mark of the page. At that point, the Gemara made reference to Rabbi Shmuel holding that the Mitzui Chatas Ha'Of is Ma'akev. The Gemara now asks, V'sovar Rabbi Shmuel Mitzui Chatas Ha'Of Ma'akev? Could it be that Rabbi Shmuel holds that the squeezing out of the remnant blood of a bird sin offering is Ma'akev? Tohotono Debei Rabbi Shmuel. We have a Tanaic source taught in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel that says, V'anish'ar B'dam Yimotzei. Hanish'ar Yimotzei. Which suggests if there is remaining blood from the bird sin offering, then squeeze it out. If there's no remaining blood, then there's nothing to do. In other words, if all the blood came out in the hazah, you fulfilled your requirement, showing us that the mitzui is not something that's binding. That's a question. The Gemara answers, Tre Tanoi Valiba de Rabbi Shmuel. There are two Tanaic versions as to what Rabbi Shmuel actually said. As we go on in the Gemara, we see a new geometric form, a diamond. The introduction to this Gemara is found in the outside margin under the Nosei Mivne heading. You see a diamond, Machlokis Rami Barchamo Verova, Im Yesh Lahamid Tana de Braisa. Kisover the Shirai Ma'akvin. We're going to have a Tanaic source, and there will be a controversy between Rami Bar Chama and Rava, who appears later on the page, also in a diamond, as to whether he holds that Shirayim are Ma'akev. So Rami Bar Chama claims that the following source teaches that it is Ma'akev. Omar Rami Bar Chama, Hai Tana Sovar Shirayim Ma'akvi, Desanya. The source begins, and you can see it's a rather long source, all contained in a frame. Hakoin Hamachate Oisa. This pasuk is in the context of a behema sin offering. Oisa Shenitan Domo Lamalo. Voloi Oisa Shenitan Domo Lamato. The korban is kosher only if the blood is offered above on the upper part of the mizbeach, and not if it's offered incorrectly on the lower part of the mizbeach. In effect, we have a posuk telling me that if it's done on the lower part of the mizbeach, then it's not kosher. Amris v'chi me'ayin bosa. From where are you coming? Namely, what is the havamina that you may have had to allow, to machshir, a korban chatos whose blood is done below, that I need a pasuk to say that it's not kosher? Once again, when you have a pasuk to tell me something, it is in all likelihood coming to exclude something that I... a situation that I would have thought otherwise. So if you're telling me that the pasuk is teaching me that the blood, if done below, is not kosher when you're dealing with korban chatos, you must have thought that it could have been kosher. So the Gemara answers. The Braisa answers, Michlal Shenemar, since there's a pasuk that says, V'dam zvochecha yishofech al mizbach v'chulei, and then it goes on to say, V'aboser tochal, lomadnu lanitnin b'matan arba, we learn from this pasuk which speaks in the singular, which says, dam zvochecha yishofech, it's mashma, one pouring. We learn from that, that korbonos, that one is expected to do four blood applications. For example, a korban chatos, that if you reduced the number and did only one, you have fulfilled your basic or skeletal requirement. So we see some flexibility wherein the Torah requires four. However, there is an allowance to having it be done even in the singular one application. Maybe there's some flexibility with regard to the positioning of the blood application as well, that those korbanos who are expected to have the blood done above the chut ha-sikra, above the midway mark, for example the korban chatos, if you were to vary it, change it and do it below, maybe it's okay. Therefore I need the pasuk of HaKohen Mechate Osah. The Gemara, the Braisa though goes on, and we have a new marking, a triangle. This is designed to assist in the ability to keep track of the back and forth discussion. At this point, the Braisa is going to suggest that I don't really need the pasuk for that. Logic would have told me that he doesn't receive atonement, that he's low keeper if he does it on the wrong. On the wrong height of the Mizbeach. V'dinhu. Logic tells me that he would not be Miskaper. Nemru domim lemalo. The Pasuk talks about the Chatos Behema whose blood is done above the Chut HaSikra. The Chut HaSikra is the midway mark of the Mizbeach. V'nemru domim lematon. And the Pasuk talks about a Chatos Ho'ov, a bird sin offering, whose blood is done below. Ma domim huamurim lematon shenosnon lemalon loy kiper. Just like blood that's supposed to be done below, if you do it above, he does not achieve atonement. The pasuk says in that context, chatos hi, which is a limitation. In other words, it must be done below by the bird sin offering. Af domim hoamurim lemalon, so too, by the same token, blood that's supposed to be done above by the animal sin offering, im nosnon lemato lo kiper. If he changes their location, likewise, he would not achieve atonement. So at this point, I don't really see the need for the pasuk of HaKohen Mechate Osah. Loi, this is a rejection, and thereby we would reinstate the need for a pasuk. Im amris betachtoinim shenitnin benesina lemala. If you tell me about the lower blood done above, that he's not yotze she'ein soifon lemalon lo kiper. Blood that's supposed to be done below, obviously, since there are laws of gravity, if done properly, it would never find itself above. Therefore, if that which is supposed to be below is done above, it's totally out of bounds. Therefore, lo kiper. However, should you say the same thing, toimar be'el yoinim, shenosnon lamata, shekein soifon lamata. When you're dealing with the upper type blood, the blood of korban, an animal sin offering, which, albeit supposed to be above, if you did it below, maybe that's not the end of the world. After all, by the law of gravity, even if it were done properly, it eventually comes below. Therefore, if I initially applied it below, it's not so bad. We must improve our explanation. When Morris says here, Tomar Belinum Shinosnon Lamato, Shekain Sofon Lamato, that's a reference to the shirayim of the korban, the shirayim of the animal sin offering, eventually go to the base. This is what Rashi says, shekein sof lamato, shirayim nitnan layesod. So that if I do my initial offering, maybe, if I do my initial offering of the elyonim and I do it lamato, maybe it's okay. Therefore, I do need the pasuk to exclude that. The Brisa responds, no, I wouldn't say that. Domim hapnimim yochichu. The domim, the blood of internal sin offerings, shall prove that he doesn't achieve kapara if he would place it on the if he would place our elyonim lamata. How is that? Shesoifon liois bachutz. The domim of the pnimim eventually, they have an eventuality of going in the outside mizbech in the form of shvicha shirayim. Vim nosnon betchila bachutz lo kiper. And if you do their initial sprinklings of the domim hapnimim outside, you don't achieve kapara. So by the same token, even though the chatos hachitzona blood, which is supposed to be applied to the upper part of the mizbech, and it has the eventuality of the shirayim being below, we see from here that though there is an eventuality, it doesn't give license to the initial application being done below. Therefore, I still don't see a need for the pasuk to tell me about domim elyonim being done lamata as being lo kiper. So the Gemara says, as far as that is concerned, lo. This is a response to the attempted proof from the pnimim. Im amris bedomim hapnimim, if you'll tell me about them, namely that you applied their dam bachutz, their initial matnas dam bachutz, that he's lo kiper, she'ein mizbeach hapnimi memarkon. The mizbeach hapnimi doesn't finish off their job. They have another avoda. They have another avoda in the outside mizbech, namely the shvicha shirayim. So therefore, they are viewed as very chomor. Tomar be'elyonim, sharei kronois memarkois oisan. I therefore couldn't say the same thing as I would by the pnimim with regard to the elyonim. Because with regard to the elyonim, their gemar matan domim is done by the kronos. We're assuming right now that lechulei alma, we know that lechol hadeos, everyone agrees that the shirayim of the chitzonim are not ma'akev. Therefore, since the elyonim are not as chomor as the pnimim, im nosnon lamato ksherin. It could be that if you were to apply the elyonim lamato, it actually is kosher. Before we go further, let's glance at the Rashi. Rashi, you'll see more or less across from here, he says, she'ein mizbech ha'pnimi memarkon. She'ein shom gemar matandomim. With regard to the internal sin offerings, the completion of their blood offerings is not accomplished on the inside mizbeach. She'oidem tzrichon avoido achas. Hilkoch chamiri. Therefore, they're viewed as strict, as stringent. L'kamen meforsh v'ozul mahi. Later, the Gemara will explain what this is referring to. What do we mean that the matnas dam of the pnimim are not completed on the inside mizbeach? Rashi continues, Toimar benitnin lamalo shiken kronos memarkos oson shu gemar matan demeim lakev. Deha lekuli almo shiram achsen lo ma'akvi. Should I say the same thing with regard to the external sin offerings, whose dam offering, or whose dam sprinkling is completed at the point that you finish the sprinklings on the corners of the mizbeach? Hilchoch lo chamiri. Therefore, they're not as strict. Notice with our markings, you can compare, focus on the main points, Rashi above, where we have a diamond chamiri, versus here, we're saying lo chamiri. And as a result of our viewing the external sin offerings as less stringent than the internal sin offerings, v'yichshru lamaton, and therefore we can allow, there's room to allow in your mind the improper location, application of the external sin offerings, namely, if it's done on the lower part of the Mizbeach, l'hochi itzrich osa, therefore I need the pasuk to prohibit that and render it invalid. Let us turn to the Braisa and read the completion of this. Talmud Lomar, Osa. Osa shenitan domim lamala, velo shenitan domo lamata. The chatas offering will be considered kosher only if it's done, if the blood is applied to the upper part of the Mizbeach and not if it's applied to the lower part of the Mizbeach. My she'ein Mizbeach ha'pnimi memarkon. What is the point of that expression? Lav elu shirayim. Is this not in fact a reference to the shvichas shirayim of the chatas ha'pnimis, that they are me'akev? This is exactly what Rami Bar Chama was trying to accomplish. Rami Bar Chama, the second line from the top, where his name was in a diamond, he said that the following Tana holds Shirayim Ar Ma'akev. That is alluded to in this expression of by the Panimium. We view incorrect blood applications as binding because they have obligatory shvichas shirayim. I would not say the same thing with regard to external sin offerings, which was the subject of this source, where you did that which is supposed to be on the upper part of the Mizbeach on the lower part. Maybe that would be okay insofar as that it doesn't have obligatory shirayim. But for our purposes, what do we see here? We see here a Tana that holds that the Shirayim of the Chatois HaPnimios is Me'akev. Amar Lei Rava. Rava turns to Rami Bar Chama and says, "I hachi, teisi b'kal v'chomer. If it's so that the Shirayim of the Pnimium are Me'akev, then I would be able to learn through a Kal V'chomer that the Nitnin Lamalo Shinosnon Lamalo Lamato Lo Kiper, and I would not need the Pasuk of Oisa." Amale Rava, let's now see this. I Hachi Teisi B'Kal V'chomer. If as you claim that the Shirayim of the Pnimim are Ma'akev, then the halacha concerning the lamato lamalo issue by the chatas achitzene could have been learned through a kal v'chomer as follows: Uma shirayim hapnimim shesoifon choivo bachutz asoon betchila bachutz lo kiper hanitnin lamalo she'ein sofon choivo lamato. The ason b'tchilo lamato, ein odin shelo kiper. Let's go over this. He says, mind you, chatois of the pnimium, where the shirayim of the pnimium are obligated to be placed on the outside mizbeach. So you have the outside mizbeach with regard to the pnimium as something obligatory, according to what you are claiming. And if you were to do the initial matonos over there on the outside Mizbeach, which is a place that has great relevance to the Pnimium, and still low-kiper, even though you've done the initial panimi blood applications on the outside mizbeach, the hanitnin lamalo, she'ein sof on chovo lamata, external chatas offerings that you are, that are supposed to be done above, and there is no obligation because the shiraim of chitzenim is not ma'akev, there ain't sof on chovo lamata. Let us say then, in that case, you did the initial applications lamata. In other words, you did the initial applications on a part of the mizbeach that there is no future obligation. Certainly then, he would not achieve atonement. To review that point, with regard to the pnimim, we saw that if you apply the blood on a at a point that eventually, if you apply it initially, to a point that eventually is obligatory, you don't achieve kapara. If you apply the initial blood at a point that there is no eventual obligation, then certainly there should be no atonement. So I wouldn't need the pasuk to tell me that point. Therefore, Rava holds that the shirayim of the pnimim are not me'akev. If that be the case, so then what is the explanation of the expression of ein mizbeach pnimim markon? Elo ein mizbeach ha'pnimi me'markon bilvad elo poroches. The internal sin offerings are characterized by the idea that the mizbeach, the internal mizbeach alone, doesn't complete the blood applications, because you need to apply, you need to sprinkle the blood of the internal, the pnimim, the internal sin offerings on the curtain as well. But as far as Rav is concerned, there is no reference in this phrase to shirayim whatsoever. So to summarize, according to Rami Bar Chama, this source that was at the upper part of the page, the long source in the frame, as far as Rami is concerned, shirayim of the Chatois HaPnimis are ma'akev. According to Rava, this source was not dealing whatsoever with the issue of shirayim of the Pnimim. Before we go further, let's glance at our topic heading, the nosei. We will see here a machlokas Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Yehuda bedroshas haposuk b'yom kippur v'chila mikaper. A machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yehuda how to deal with this posuk. This posuk we had seen earlier in our shiur. Tanu rabbanan v'chila mikaper im kippur kila v'im lo kippur lo kila divrei Rabbi Akiva. It's a little hard to translate things right now because that essentially will be the role of the Gemara, but so far Rabbi Kiva says if he in kiper, which is a reference to blood applications, if he did the blood applications, he has finished his job. If he didn't do it, then he hasn't finished his job. Omar lo Rabbi Yehuda mipnei ma lo nomar im ki lo kiper. Notice the difference, albeit a slight difference, but Rabbi Akiva's approach was im kiper ki lo. Rabbi Yehuda suggests, why not darshan the posuk in the order in which the words appear? The posuk itself said v'chi lo mikaper. So Rabbi Yehuda says, why not stick to the order of the words and say im ki lo, which appeared before the word kapora, im ki lo kiper. If you finished, then you achieve the atonement. V'im lo, im lo ki lo, lo kiper. Sheim chiser achas mikol hamatonos lo also v'lo klum. That if you miss out on one of the blood applications, you haven't fulfilled your obligation whatsoever. Don't forget, we're dealing with the Yom Kippur internal sacrifices, where every one of the matnas dam is ma'akev. My Binayu, what is the difference between Rabbi Akiva's approach and Rabbi Yehuda's approach? The Gemara presents two Amoroyim, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Chad Omar, now notice that who says what is not clear immediately, but we know that we have two Amoroyim, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. One of them says, Chad Omar mashmoz dorshaniko binayu, that there is no legal difference between the two approaches, but the only difference is how to approach the pasuk. V'chad omar shirayim me'akfin iko binayu. The point of difference between them will be the necessity of pouring out the remnant blood on the yisoid of the mizbeach after the internal blood applications were completed. Testayim to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, hu di Omar Shirayim de Ma'akvi. Let us conclude, this is an attempt, the Gemara will reject it later, but let us attempt to say that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is the Chad Omar, the second Chad Omar that said Shirayim Ma'akvin is the point of difference between them. Di Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is quoted as having said the following. L'divrei ha'oimer shirayim me'akfin mevi par echod umaschil betchilo bifnim. Let's read that again. It's L'divrei ha'oimer shirayim me'akfin mevi par acher umaschil betchilo bifnim. What's being described here is a case of if the blood of the Yom Kippur Korbonus poured out after he did the applications to the internal Mizbeach. The blood applications to the internal Mizbeach followed the applications that were done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and then on the Paroches and eventually on the golden altar in the Heichal. If after that the blood spilled out, so there, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that there's a, according to the opinion that says Shirayim or Ma'akev, that the remaining blood is binding in the processing of the korban. So the remaining blood spilled out in the meantime. What do? You have to bring another par, slaughter it, and redo the Mizbeach HaPnimi blood applications to create a situation of remnant blood. That's what's conveyed here by his statement, mevi par acher umaschil betchilo bifnim, and redo the mizbeach hapnimi blood application so as to create shirayim. What do we see from this? We see that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi acknowledges the idea of shirayim akvin. So it must be at this point we think that he is the Chad Omar, notice we squiggle underline Chad Omar twice, just a couple lines up, that he is the Chad Omar that says Shirayim Akvin is the point of difference between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yehuda. And we see this by the fact that he references someone that holds that. The Gemara asks, Otu Rabbi Yochanan Lesle Ha Svara? Are you suggesting that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold that there is a Tana that holds Shirayim Akvin v'Omar Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan has been quoted as saying, Tana Rabbi Nechemya k'divrei ha'omer Shirayim Akvin. Rabbi Yochanan teaches that there was a Tana that Rabbi Nechemya taught his teaching according to the opinion that Shirayim are Ma'akev. So we see that Rabbi Yochanan also acknowledges an opinion that holds Shirayim Ma'akvin. Ela k'divrei ha'oimer. As far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, he makes reference to an opinion that holds Shirayim are Ma'akev. However, v'lav ahani tanoi. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the opinion, the Divrei HaOmer that holds Shirayim Akvin is necessarily Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Akiva. Hachanami, so by the same token, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's quote as saying that there is the Divrei HaOmer Shema Akvin, he is referring to a Tana somewhere out there that holds Shema Arma Akvin. But Kedivrei Omer V'Lav Ahani Tanoi, there is someone that holds that, but that's not necessarily a reference to these Tanoim, to Rabbi Akiva nor Rabbi Yehuda. So as far as who holds what in setting up the Machlokis, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda as either simply Mashmo's Darshan or an issue of Shirei Ma'akvin, we can't say for sure who between Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan holds what. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.